Blog Talk Radio.
Any good television lately? Yeah. The boys, the friends, my boys. His legendary historian, Wayne Coleman, the legendary newsman who served as the public with my mother back in the WLIB days. Yeah, man. Yeah. So the elephant in the room, right, is what went down on the Oscars, black on black crime. I don't want to put it like that, man. It was messed up, very messed up. Will slapping Chris at the Oscars. I've been saying it a bit on different forms, but on podcast, my buddies left Instagram messages and things like my little Instagram 2 cents on my Instagram page. And my thing is that somebody, you know, I've been that cat to go off, got the temper a little bit, and you know, behaved in a way that I wish I had. And the thing about that, you know, when it's the magnitude, it wasn't the magnitude, of course, like that, but it was pretty big magnitude. You know, you feel terrible if you have any type of conscience or any type of feeling. You feel terrible. And so that's where I'm coming from. I've also learned, trying to learn as I grow and live, not to be judgmental. And I am a judgmental person. I think we all can be judgmental. You know, you grow up with a set of values, set of beliefs, set of agreed upon forms of behavior with you and other people in their interpersonal relationships, people you love, people you don't, people in the world, strangers, whoever. There's a code of accepted conduct when people are dealing with each other out in public, out in the world, at a minimum. And you rarely expect emotions to come up and come into play, or they should not, as much as they can come up and play and be a factor in those situations and dealing with strangers in the world. Meaning you can't go smacking your siblings either, but I'm saying the emotions behind that, what might cause you to want to laugh, love, or smack with them, or just be emotionally invested in someone, is because you love them and there's feelings there. Feelings, right? So anybody that hasn't done some dumb shit behind being in love with somebody, raise their hand, step forward. And anybody doing that, you're a better than me. And so I try not to judge. I try to be understanding, not to be understanding on Chris's side either. You know, he doesn't deserve that. At least if Will was going to do that, talk to him in the back, you know. But that's what's happened when you're emotional and your emotions, you're in love with somebody. And hey, everybody that's been in relationships know what time it is, how crazy it can get and how crazy it can cause you to get. That's where the challenge comes in, that you exercise emotional intelligence, as one of my sisters schooled me to that concept. And so in that, we all, everybody understands it was effed up. Wilson had done it, right? Everybody understands that? There's no disagreement about that. I believe the disagreement comes in how we all are reacting to it. Team Will, Team Chris, Team Jaded, Team None of Them. You know, it depends on what you identify with. And there's a gang of issues, plethora of issues here that are conflated in this circumstance, in this situation, right? Racism, intra-racial hatred or violence, the larger culture looking at black people in a certain way, black people wanting to be a part of something so bad that has traditionally left them out, then why honor anything and think anything about that is honorable or worthy of the praise or the respect or the decorum that then causes us to react this way? One school of thought. I'm just throwing that out there. Or another, you put yourself out there in such a public way, you have to expect people to comment on it. And you know, the most basic is Chris is doing his job, comic, and we know, and you know by now, the interesting is that he seems to joke at Jada's expense, certainly once before in the Oscars, and I understand reported by one of the reporters on Entertainment Tonight that he made a comment about their relationship on Twitter at Will. Probably joking, but who knows? So none of us know the complete story. None of us knows if Will said to him, hey, man, stop doing that. Hey, man, stop doing that. And what happened? What do you do? I'm just throwing this out, not saying it happened. What do you do when a brother tells you just disregard your request about talking about your girl, regardless of whether crazy shit you and your girl got going on, you know, and then people want to comment on the relationship. So nobody knows except them the full extent to it. I just am noticing, or maybe, you know, because I've been there and understand that you want to, you feel bad and ashamed if you have any kind of conscience, as I said, and redemption is what a lot of people who have fallen, mistaken, and done things messed up want. And sometimes our reaction can be so severe in certain circumstances, and I think also uneven, depending on who's reacting, that it can cause us to want to throw the person away almost and to say that, you know, there's no hope for them. And that's the thing that we have to be careful of, I believe, because particularly for us as African Americans, I think that we have to find a way. Everybody needs to find a way. But I think it's more detrimental to us in the situation that we're in the world, where we find ourselves in history, that we find a way to deal with our anger, the tools in which to deal with your anger, and to recognize, you know, the term nowadays is trigger, those triggers, and that's a good term, but to recognize those times when your anger is going to get the best, i.e. your emotions are going to get the best of you, and to then have those tools to deal with that. I saw someone bring that up on Roland Martin's YouTube show, a couple of the doctors there, and that's a really good point. Also a good point is that, you know, when you have a spouse, husband and wife, you got to watch Roland to see him. I'm going to let, you know, I'm not going to explain the whole situation that he said. But basically, you know, when people you love are getting out of hand and when you kind of need to pull them back for fear of things escalating to something way beyond what anybody intended or expected and potentially tragic results. So what happens is that when people love someone, they say, hey, you know, when they see him get out of control and get ready to get in the mix, it's like, hey, wait a minute. And so he made the observation that he wondered if that action was taken by Jada to kind of say, well, I don't know. And none of us know. But all I'm saying is maybe as I try to be and try to understand from other people's point of view, everybody's point of view, Chris, I heard that he, in his book, he described being bullied, you know, and I could imagine Chris was, you know, as kids are, teenagers, and Chris is a smaller guy and, you know, things, I could imagine that. So he didn't deserve that at all. You know, I mean, if, like I said, like people, pretty much everybody agrees that it should have been handled off stage. If you're going to get that way, if it's going to have to get to that point, then there's a bigger stuff at stake. I'm not one that falls into the camp that is disrespectful or drawback for black people, you know, but that would suggest that all black people are a monolith, and also all black people value the opinion and the concerns of the Oscar Academy and the world in general, what they think. And if the world thinks that anybody were to think all black people are responsible for the actions of those two gentlemen, then, you know, they're not really more in our concern. So I'm going to bring the fellas in. That's pretty much some of the stuff I wanted to say. Let's bring in Brother Byron Saunders, the legendary historian. What's up, B? What's up?
Well, it's interesting by my brother, indeed, for the commentary, because interesting to me that the slap that was for all to witness, heard around and seen around the world, may have missed the moral of the story. Because at the point of which, at the end of this rite of confrontation, was a plea for forgiveness. The hardest part of all of this is to admit and submit your mea culpa in public, asking for forgiveness. That, to me, took a better step towards resolution. And to say it again, personal, public, to Chris, to Jada, to everybody, his fans. And understand this. The week prior to this event, we just saw the most vile, orchestrated, and literally immoral confrontation of white men engaged here, not only intellectually, but in the ritual of our democracy, would have a lifetime job for which they do not have. And at the end of that week, I can guarantee you, I and several other brothers, now you impact that on a situation, and every brother knows you do not talk about your mother, your sister, your wife, because if you're going to play the dozens, you better be able to back it up. And at the point at which, yes, we are all sensitive, but when you live through the prism of our oppression, the insult to our women and the demasculation of our men is always on center stage. So, having understood that, yes, the action was out of character and unprofessional. But you know what? For all the years we've been watching these shows, and it's my sadness is for Questlove, because it took away the thunder of his superior intellect documenting our culture in a way in which critical race truths are told. But at the end of that, then you tell me that you're going to give a Best Actress award to someone playing Tammy Faye Baker, where our stories don't mean squat to you because we can't even get an award for Harriet Tubman, or it goes on and on and on and on and on. But that's okay, because once again, it's how do we resolve it, I think, is more the purpose of the lesson that we learned. And I guarantee you, most of us will not remember that it was all about forgiveness, not the slap.
So that's to say, and that's, you brought up an interesting point that I thought about too. 32 Brothers, and you know, it's one of the biggest events in the world, maybe the top two, certainly top 10. But I thought about the cultural aspect of it that you brought up, that brothers don't play certain things. And it did you know, it should never get to that point, but it played out on that particular stage. A part of our culture sometimes that is could potentially be a part of our culture. If there are certain cats, and you brought up a good point about the dozens, because back in the day, you know, when a number of cats who first experienced really playing the dozens might have gone to HBCU, or, you know, that's when you really experience, you know, if you're around, haven't been around a number of black people who play that in high school or whatever, HBCU is the first one you really experienced that. And a cat is talking about your mama jokes. Yeah, you might get slid upside the head. I have a friend who slid somebody upside the head playing the dozens at HBCU he went to, and he never didn't particularly come from that culture, you know. Maybe cats talking trash, but not talking about doing the yo mama, like the whole traditional stereotypical thing you might see in a movie. And he went upside somebody's head. But and so that's something that's cultural with us. So I'm glad you brought that point up. And so when I say, bring up the point is between these brothers, it wasn't just two men. There was something other, two black men. And so there's a whole set of cultural inferences and facts to deal with there that come along with that. Because the very nature of what got them to that point was the hair of a black woman. And we know that subject matter is something that is certainly touchy. And Chris, having done that documentary, apparently he was supposed to have been aware of that. And I know I was watching Roland Martin, and there were a couple of sisters that they're like, he's been misogynistic towards black women for a minute. So, and I wasn't necessarily aware of that, but you know, that's interesting. And also to his point, and I guess this kind of strengthens Chris's reaction to something like that. There's also a video that I saw on the internet of a show that Louis C.K. would have kind of with comedians. And this is about 5 or 6 years ago. Jerry Seinfeld, Ricky Gervais, and Chris, and Louis C.K. And this particular exchange part of the show was Chris was saying something about Louis C.K. had just said something. Chris said, you know, you like the black, you like do the blackest stuff of some black people, you know, the worst element, or I don't know, something. I'm paraphrasing. And Louis C.K. was laughing, you know, he's like, you're late, you know, like black people, you got the worst. And then Louis C.K. said, so you mean I'm acting like a nigger? And Chris was like, yeah, you're acting like a nigger, yeah, you do stuff. And Ricky Gervais was laughing, and Chris just rolled with it. And Jerry Seinfeld was the only one that seemed to take pause. And so I might have had to take a moment and say, whoa. But Chris rolled with it and said, yeah, you are. You do this, you do that. And maybe that makes a point about Chris being able to check his impulses better than Will. But there's also the flip side of this, that this cat felt comfortable enough to say this crazy shit out of his mouth while you're sitting there. And you guys are talking about how long you've known him. You've known him so long, you worked with him before. And so if you've known him long, then he should know that, and he knows either he's comfortable enough to say that shit to you or not. And that maybe is just
Eric, I do have to ask you the question. Was it a bitch slap or was it a slap slap? Because you and I are in the business of...
Oh, you're talking about what Will did to Chris.
Special effects. Yeah, come on now. Can we take it to the barbershop now? Come on. Was it a bitch slap or was it a slap of intention, like, don't you ever? Because it could be, because, and I have to say, in Chris Rock's favor, he took it like a man.
Yeah.
He put the rim shot back on it after he said, yeah, I just got the shit slapped out of me. But don't change.
Yeah, let's get Wayne in here. I want
to
hear
his opinion. I hate to go down into the street on
right.
it, but, you know.
Let's get Wayne. Hey, Wayne, the legendary news man. What say you, Wayne? What's your opinion about what went on?
I don't know. I've just been vibing off to what the two of you have been saying. When I first saw it, and I'm not really inclined to watch that on a regular basis, but I wanted to see. I had been looking forward to him getting acknowledged for the portrayal of the Williams sister's father, and At first, when I saw it, first blush, I thought it was a stunt. And then, obviously, like everyone else, when they blacked out the programming for a minute, and you could see from the gesticulations back and forth from each face that there was some anger and rage there, I said, oh, my God, you know. I didn't want to go with the race thing, but, I mean, I couldn't help it. I think most people of color probably felt the same way. This is such a symbol of white purity, white culture, American culture, blah, 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 blah. You know, some of us, and I mean this with all due respect because both of you all are in a profession far deeper than I am as far as acting is concerned, and I have family in it, but, you know, it was totally uncalled for. But I think what really got to me the last 3 days, the number of black women I know, some in my family or not, who felt that Will Smith, you know, really did something that should have been done, you know, that it was an appropriate thing for him to go off the way, like it was a symbol of, for once, some black man is defending us, and it's public. And I'm just... You know, I don't know. I don't know if they said this to get my wheels turning because I didn't see it that way. I didn't think it had to go that far. And I'm not saying that white folks don't do stupid things like that too. But, you know, it just got to me. And
You're kind of appalled that they feel that way?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I particularly had an argument with one of my family members this morning about it. I hadn't talked in a while, and I just said, well, wait a minute. You know, I understand the pain Jada Smith is going through. I had a friend I used to work with. Your mother knew her. Her daughter suffered a severe case of allergies. That's how I first became acquainted with the autoimmune deficiency disease. And this young lady used to go for injections just to have her hair grow. And she was no more than 13, 14 years of age. And one day she came into the newsroom. She was like full of tears. This is the mother at her wit's end about what she doesn't know what to do more with her daughter because she seems to have a frequent menstruation cycle as a result of the injections. Just to make her hair grow. And I just said to myself, damn, you know, why would you want to put, you know, just being a teenager going to school is bad enough. Your daughter is attractive. If it means that she has to wear a wig just to get along with the others, so be it. But I could only imagine what she must have gone through. And, you know, juxtaposing that with the situation with Jada, she's been very public about, you know, the problems that she suffered with that. But she's a very attractive woman, you know. I ain't going to lie. I park my boots under that,
right,
you know.
Gotcha.
I mean, hair or no hair. But
okay.
I know in our community, hair is a big thing, you know.
So
no
adage.
There's
an old adage that is very apropos here. Those who live in glass houses should not throw stuff.
There you
and
go.
One of the things that I was that embracing Will afterwards was Denzel Washington, was other actors who understood yet had to understand as part of the brotherhood how to take each other out of that space and say, and it's going to be okay. We still support you. You see, that's the part that I'm more interested in because, as I said, what was the lesson? Because if there was no lesson beyond the slap heard around the world, it's another piece of theater and drama that just sold Chris Rock's next show out, and Will is going to the circuit anyway, so they're making money. They know how to make this stuff happen.
Byron,
before we go there, I want to really explore Pac with Wayne, his difference. And you seem to have a vehement difference of opinion with the women. Like I said, I've heard women, Dr. Julianne Malveaux was one of the women on Roland's show, that she also expressed a dislike towards Chris. Both of these women felt, there's another sister on there that felt that he was a misogynist, particularly with black women. And they both said this.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not aware of, you know, I don't know. I'm not, I follow Chris a little bit. You know, he's an acquaintance, a friendly acquaintance to me, and I follow his work, but I haven't been as up to date with, you know, I don't keep up on Twitter, so I don't know people's antics and everything they're doing. But these sisters felt that, you know, and there's a number of sisters and some I've seen postings on Instagram and stuff like that where sisters said, I wish a black man would stand up for me like that. So there is that feeling. And also, too, if I can also ask you all, too, Wayne, do you feel that it embarrassed? Are you in the camp that it, you felt it embarrasses black people or makes black people on the whole look bad?
Yeah, I have to say that was my first thought. I said, why here? Why this? Why now? Why couldn't that have been done behind the scenes? Why would you use this platform, you know, that is global? I mean, it's around the world. Why would you go and do this nonsense and mess up your career like that, you know? I mean, Chris has his, you know, he that's his style. That's his humor. I've only met him a couple of times. He grew up around the corner from where I grew up in Brooklyn on Decatur Street. And, you know, and he's gone to the gutter. He's talking about niggers and niggas, you know? You know, these are just, you know, he distinguishes. So for somebody to make a characterization about the use of the word, as offensive as it may be, he's taking it to a Richard Pryor level. You know, well, that there are those and then there are those. You know, I'm just saying,
yeah.
Hey, man, it's irrelevant. You know, I mean, and the thing is, I was about to say that Will Smith never apologized to Chris until after the fact. If he wanted forgiveness, he should have come out, because they were calling for him to leave the theater. That's what I heard. I don't know how accurate that is, but I heard before he got his award, they were asking him to leave.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
a fact. Some people, there were discussions on whether they should make him leave or not. That's what I heard. You know, I realized a little while ago that a lot of these guys, you know why they're so relaxed in front of each other? Because it's become like an annual thing for them all, right? It's kind of an industry thing. It's an industry thing. Those that are frequently on the A or B list that are asked to participate to either show up or be a presenter if they're not winning. So it becomes kind of regular for them, for lack of a better word. I think in that scenario, what might happen is that they get a little too loose, too. Get a little too comfortable about it. You know, forget this world is watching, you know, because you know how sometimes they're all still walking around and the commercial break comes about. I mean, that type of looseness, I think, maybe might go a little bit further in terms of how they feel they can react. You know, because, you know, you do the Grammys or something like that. That's the type of behavior you expect at a music awards and not necessarily only the Black Award show. So,
good point.
You know, like I said, I'm that particular, you know, the Oscars and all that. I mean, it's what we talked about before, the conflation of what we value. Do we allow them to set the standards of what we value? But there's a caveat to that. Yeah, we don't have to allow them, but if you play in that sandbox, then, you know, that people are going to expect you to play by their rules, regardless of whether you're trying to change the rules with progression and as time goes on. But once you play in the sandbox, you're accepting the established rules. What do you think, B?
Right.
Well, I agree, you know, and I think the lesson that will be learned is you won't write that joke again, because that's a critical thing right now relative to black women's hair all over, from Congress to stage to you name it. And it is a critical commentary that is relevant to women's rights. And women are sensitive to their hair, black women in particular. So is that the point at which, no, let's put it like this. If Chris knew this joke was going to be his side joke, then he's guilty because he's the one that threw it in there. If it was written by one of his writers or one of the writers of the show, then yes, it's on the teleprompter. But, you know, will we ever find that out? I don't know at this point. I think it's really particularly rather moot. What I, as I said, what I'm more interested in is of the brotherhood. Have we moved beyond the point of I'm going to kick your ass? Because at this point right now, we need to understand how we're going to resolve this without the violence part of it.
Right.
It's not necessary. No.
As you say that, so does this also present an opportunity? It made me think, does this also present an opportunity for Chris to offer a mea culpa in a way to black women, right? Because I'm sure Ada wasn't the only one that was offended.
Oh, my gosh, Chris, that's what I'm saying. The dynamics of it is that, yes, your answer to your question, Eric, and as I was listening to you and Wayne have that conversation, I said, yes, there is a resolve to this, and it's one that it is resolving for a win-win solution. And that's where we must find the commonality of the mistake made. And yes, you know what? It's the slap heard around the world. Come on. It'll be talked about for eons. Okay? And what will be better for it, as I said, that's a joke that will not sustain itself. Because we've seen it in the halls of Congress, how it's so easy to denigrate a black woman. So now do we just codify it that everybody can do it? Well, we need to be the ones to step off of it and say, enough is enough.
You know, B, that's very interesting because considering the last two and a half weeks, it's when you look at it, stand back and look at it in that context and what Ketanji had to go through. And now, Chris, you know, that circumstance is rather interesting and might be part of the reason why a lot of sisters are like, yeah, well, thank you for standing up for us, regardless of the outcome, regardless of the consequences, you know?
Yeah. Hmm. The paradox shift is what the paradigm shift that we're going through is because of optics like that. You couldn't have scripted that if you wanted to. So it happened. And it's in real time. It wasn't virtual. It literally, people saw it. So now they've got to figure out, what the hell did we just get through seeing?
Yeah. And I felt that white tension. I wasn't in the room. It came through my screen. I'm assuming Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz, you see? Can't take these people out of, you know, you can't put them in a spotlight. They're animals. They belong in a cage. You know, come and
let them say that? Because at the other end of that, we have a Cory Booker who just slapped the crap out of both of them.
Without question. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's how it's supposed to be done. And put him back in the box where he should belong. And with that racism and white supremacy crap, because it can be defeated. And here's something else. I bet you a white man won't come up and talk bad about another black woman like they did.
I hope not. You know,
it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because you know these black women are not going to stand for this crap anymore.
Yeah,
and
that's,
the brothers
that's the
will
thing.
Stand
the time
up behind
has come.
Them.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Also, I think, too, if we get to the foundation, it's interesting you said you felt the tension of white people and them going to be like, well, here they are. I've come to the point now in my life, who the hell are they to be the measure?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. Yeah, but you're right.
Despicable SOBs. They're the most turncoat, slimy, whoever has the Lindsey Graham of all people. And Ted Cruz, the word means nothing. And you see, you're able to see it in real time, you know? So while we're getting distracted with what Will has done, and this is what I was saying to the group today, we're not even thinking about that the ex-president sent a battalion up to the Capitol to try and to assassinate his vice president, to put out a hit on the Capitol.
Right.
We're acting like that's okay. When the man, yeah. And we're acting like it's okay for this guy in Russia or on the other side of the world, just roll into countries and bomb maternity wards where women are giving birth. And so that's...
Yeah.
There you go.
That I go back to the very foundation of things. Well, you know, I've often talked about the how can the Constitution have any type of validity when they own slaves and they have the nerve to make their first couple of words, all men are created equal. How can you even speak that? When you know good and well in your heart, you tried to make those people into beasts so you felt better about making them slaves, but you know they're human beings, because why would you be having sex with them if they weren't human beings? You sick sons of you know what, if you really believe that. So,
yeah.
Excuse me. So somehow they made it okay with themselves. So therefore, to me, all bets are off. Everything that's built on this crooked-ass foundation is up for grabs. So I'm not going to honor your institutions that you taught me, brainwashed me to honor, when you've kept the real history about what my people and what we built from us all these years, and you can put systems in place to continue that system. And then when we try to point it out, you want to strike us down and make up stuff and make up this bullshit about this sister. So no, I'm not going to honor. There's no rules. So yeah, brother got smacked up because he came out of his mouth. Because you know, in our community, regardless, you don't play that. Cats don't play that.
You don't play that.
Yeah,
right?
Your little. We're not. But we're in the house here. This is how we handle our business, and we're not proud of it. And some of us, we're going to talk to the members of our group and say, y'all can't be doing this nowhere, because it's about themselves and how you feel. But I'm not going to use these despicable individuals as any type of measuring stick. It's like when they talked about busing back in the day, as if school integration, as if black people wanted their kids to sit next to these motherfuckers' kids just because. It was because you had the best supplies and the best of everything, you ignorant motherfuckers. That's why we needed to sit by you, because we figured the strategy was if we put our kids in the same classroom with them, then at least they will have decent books and be able to get decent instruction. It wasn't about we wanted to sit next to you filthy. Never, man, come on. I'm getting ready to be like Dr. Collins. The arrogance.
It's okay, my brother.
Because
it has to be broken down like that sometimes. And because, once again, it's disrespecting the fact that when we tell you the truth, you don't want to hear you want to theorize it into something else. No. We just told you, get your foot up off of my neck. Now, do you want to theorize that? Or how about taking the boot off of my neck? Which one do you think is about truth? Hello? Remove the boot.
Hear that.
And so, yeah.
And you theorize about how it relieves me after you remove the boot.
Yeah. You know, and that's, I mean, and what Will did was fucked up. You should have done that to Chris, Will. It's fucked up, man.
Yeah.
Do that. Pull him aside and say, look, and like I said, we don't know. Maybe he might have tried to reach out to him 100 times before. But don't let him get, because that's really, that's Will's battle in himself. Don't let him get to you like that. Not right here, now. Right here, right now.
Say something.
He wins. You lose right now. If you got
and he laughed at the joke initially. He really, you know, that's the other
and
thing.
And Denzel told him, he said, when he came back at the end and apologized to everyone, he said, Denzel told me, when you're at the top of your game, that's when the devil's going to be right there trying to pull you back.
Profound
when
moment.
He said that, that was a profound moment, because he didn't have to reveal that, but he understood, eyes for lying, people. Now I'm bearing my soul the way a man is supposed to. What else do you want me from me?
He should have said, sorry.
I have made my,
You know, he should have said, sorry. His anger.
I agree with what you're saying, but I just felt he should have just gone a step further and apologized to Chris publicly.
Yeah.
You know, don't wait for the next day.
On camera.
Yeah. On camera.
And I'm
I guarantee there will be another moment that he'll be apologizing, because it's going to be running in the loop of everything for a while. And I guess that's part of the, you know, part of the contextual part of what we will get from this is that someone is going to make sure the lesson is learned in the manner in which, it wasn't just a slap. because it was a resolve that followed it. That's the important part. How
mm-hmm.
far we lose that will be determined how much the message is codified.
Right.
Yeah.
New story.
Well, can I ask a question of both of you? Do you have tickets for the Atlantic City show yet?
No. I didn't even know.
I'm just asking. The slap down? I guess it's sold out.
Look at it.
I don't even want to see Kevin Hart. I just want to hear what Chris has got. Well, he's playing somewhere tonight, in fact, you know.
Yeah. He already told us the tickets are sold out. His sales are already boosted.
You know what's interesting, when you look at it, like, from what Denzel was saying, when you get your highest, the devil's come for you. I was looking at how it turned out that those two individuals happened to be at that apex at the same time.
Yeah.
So
yes.
How would the principle? How
mm-hmm.
years later, after the 2016 incident at the last Oscars, that Will and Chris would then be in this position when Will is nominated for Best Oscar. This happens to be next time. So it is something to what Denzel was saying, right? That somehow that some sort of spiritual maybe design or evil force design put Will in that place, put those brothers together in that place for it to turn out one or the other. It's something interesting and, excuse me, to kind of ponder and whatnot. If anybody's listening, I was on Instagram earlier today and I was talking about it. I just want to give this call in number if anybody wanted to talk and put the little 2 cents in. And what's our call-in number? If you want to call in real quick, we only got 17 minutes left. 323-679-0906. 323-679-0906. This is a hot topic, but also it's also a distraction from some of the more important stuff that has been happening. Today, before we go back, the missing White House phone logs, 8 hours, that are suddenly missing the day of the insurrection. What do you guys think on that?
Suddenly. Okay.
I think those burned phones can be traced. I don't know. I just get the impression that there's just too much hacking and crap out here. And I just, before I walked into the room to do the broadcast, I saw on MSNBC where finally the Justice Department, it seems like they're looking to get involved in this because, this is Watergate all over again. That's all it is.
Worse than that. But, we got an anti-lynching bill that I must say is in my opinion the other side of the shadow, the dark side. There is some light shining because the Emmett Till anti-lynching bill is a byproduct of all those who, like we said, who walked in those protests, Ida B, Fannie Lou. You name them, the women who had to endure because that picture in Jet magazine at the request of Mrs. Till, who I happen to have met, really has set the civil rights movement on a course that today was a celebration that we well deserved and earned it. Nobody gave it to us. We earned it. And thank you, those heroes and sheroes, their lives on the line, and hung from the forbidden fruit tree and took the bullets and the brutality of slavery and oppression because it was because of them that we finally, 400 plus years, finally, an anti-lynching bill. Thank you.
Yeah. 67 years since Till's death, and forgive me if I'm repeating myself. My parents were not as politically active as either one of your parents, but my family left a copy of that Ebony magazine. This is what really precipitated my interest and wanting to find out about the news business, the riots that I grew up in when I was a teenager and stuff like that. I mean, it was just a defining moment, you know, a seminal moment in my life. And I used to be freaked out by, you know, seeing bodies. And back in the day, you know, in the neighborhood I grew up in Bed-Stuy, not everyone went to a funeral parlor. You know, it was your neighbor died, they would, you know, they had the service right in the living room of your neighbor's home. And, you know, it was just, when I look back at what Biden signed today, and I'm just saying, why does it take so freaking long with us, you know? And I think in some instances, I'm not saying he's going to be better than Barack Obama. I think Barack Obama still controls the show in terms of modern-day political greatness. But Biden is, you know, he's proving himself in small ways, and we have to go out and see that he gets a second term.
When you say what's wrong with us, what do you mean exactly?
Come again?
When you say, why does it take so long with us?
Well, again, the civil rights struggles that we've been through. You know, I mean, the civil rights bill, the fact that, you know, 67, 1955, this poor brother was lynched, you know, and they made a spectacle, deliberately so that the world would know of what blatant racism occurs in this country. But only now we're getting this bill passed and signed, you know? And just the what you all cited before, the last couple of weeks with the Jackson nomination, you know? I mean, summer coming around, it seems. It's not going to be just only Democrats voting in favor. But it's still a defining moment about where our country is at while we're seeing a democracy fall apart 3,000, 4,000 miles away from where we are. And we're known in many ways just as in a precipitous situation here as they are there, because this right-wing militancy, this autocratic nature, the fact that the former president is still going around acting like as if he should be still large and in charge, and his hands, you see blood all over his hands, you know? I mean, there's a paper trail now, but there's still people out there that believe this crap, you know? And it's that stuff that, you know, why does it take so long? Why are we reliving in a small way what our forefathers went through in the civil rights movement 50, 60 years ago, you know? I mean, yes, we've made gains, but why are we going through this crap again? You know, it's sickening.
They're those who want to keep this system going. That's why it's taken us 400 years, because these individuals have set up a very elaborate system. And certainly, like Dr. Kress Wesley has said, all of those levels on which they attack or perpetuate white supremacy. And I would even say that maybe even some of those levels, maybe it's not as intentional. Excuse me, maybe it's the culture of white supremacy, just the natural, you know, white folks that are born into a society that might not have been actively participating in building the foundation of white supremacy, but are certainly benefits of it because of their ethnicity. And so the individuals that don't even notice their white privilege, right? Just because they're born into a system that tells them this is the natural order of things. And so I think it's a kind of an individual who is not, as a way the world can objective eye, you see the disparity in treatment amongst people. But, you know, you live in a country where, I'm saying the culture of entertainment and things, it can very naturally grow out of a system like that. And it might not even be intentional. We're going to make this culture and art in our society with the intention of perpetuating it. It's just that it's going to be a natural extension, because that's all the people that are making the shit know. So it's no wonder that they're always going to be, you know, stories about us all the time, and the black people in the stories will be secondary or servants or slaves or whatever. whatever way they were depicted in history at the time dictated for them. So, you know,
you're right.
I'm just spewing that out to say that the very foundation of it, of our country, needs to be changed from that standpoint, because the starting off point is so damn crooked that, you know, I often thought, and I do still to this day, if you bring up a child who might be white and his parents don't teach him anything about being prejudiced, don't raise him to believe that, just let him be and bring him up, that child would naturally grow up seeing or assuming, I believe, that they have preferential treatment. They have the first class citizenship merely because of the world that they're living in and the things that they're going to see. So that requires that white parents be as active as black parents in the way they bring up their children in a world that needs to be a lot more inclusive and progressive and diverse.
Well, I think there was a recent survey showing that there is a trend in that direction, that they, you know, there are white parents who would like to see critical race theory, you know, discussed openly. And if I'm not mistaken, at an early age, you know, certainly was a situation where they were pushing it to be relegated just to college years. I think it would do a lot to solve some of the problems in this country.
One of the rationales is that the reason why they reject it is because when they don't know the story based not from their point of view, but from the point of view of the oppressed individual. I mean, because I can tell you, when I ran the Queens Historical Society, one of the things that I recognized in preserving the 2.5 million stories of the people of Queens, New York City, is that a borough-wide historical society that did not have a repository for African-American history, just collecting newspaper stories, means that when the history books are written and you go to the resource material where the history is being, is not in anybody's collection, then the story gets left out. So by the time you get to learn, 12 years of elementary, senior, and high school, then you have been indoctrinated with a blank page of cultural history because it did not exist in the historical society. And therefore, ergo, no story in the book, a page that's about the Civil War is reduced to a paragraph.
That's right about that.
It's like, see, that's how it starts. And you're right. And then they say, well, I can't be made responsible for the things that I had no control of. But you see, you're the beneficiary more or less than anything else, which means your complicity in the act is that, oh, I may not have been a part of it, but I'm okay with benefiting from all the other stuff that went down with it.
Of shit you had no that you weren't a part of.
Yeah.
You want to claim
exactly.
You are responsible for shit I wasn't a part of, but you're the beneficiary of shit you weren't a part of. Which
that's
one
right. So, and, what part of, and that's the part of which America is in right now, because in denial, they don't want to know, because it will upset their perception of all the years that they've been miseducated about so much of this nation, that their tunnel vision does not permit them to acknowledge other.
Right. The very foundation, the foundation of their belief system, you know?
Yeah.
This is a kind of a weird analogy, but, you know, I do the whole UFO and that's my interest on, like, the YouTube and things like that, trying to find UFO videos and Bigfoot videos. And there was a story one time about a person that had been abducted, you know, taken up there, and their whole belief system was shook, right? Because they believed in God, Jesus. Here they were shook, abducted by the aliens. The story goes that the aliens told them that we gave you the image and the impressions of Jesus. That's not a real thing. We've implanted that in your minds, right? And a hologram of Jesus, right? The real point of it, is that what if your the very foundation of your belief system is not what you thought it was? What if it was revealed to you that it is in fact true that we are in America, and you know tomorrow folks coming plugging our heads in all that other bullshit? What if your very core of your foundation, reality was changed? And that is the thing that these people, I mean, this is the very core of their foundation, America, apple pie, white supremacy, and the whitest, you know, I mean, that was a serious kind of countries white, and actually towns have signs of the greenest, what's that, someplace out west, Midwest, the greenest grass, the blackest dirt, and the whitest town. Really? And just to mess with black people for sport, because it was part of your perceived right. Unbelievable to annihilate entire towns of people.
Yeah.
The barbaric treatment that they're showing us on the news nightly in the Ukraine. That was done to us for sport and entertainment.
Sad, so, real sad.
So the whole belief system, that's their belief system, man. I mean, there was a belief, I mean, it's just like you see the old pictures of people being lynched and them all standing around like it's a picnic. It's an event. They go to see a black person get murdered and hung and all cheering for it and cutting off pieces of their body. What kind of savage, barbaric shit is that? And what kind of belief, what kind of demonic belief system are you under to think that is normal? And then when you find out all these years later that you were some sick motherfuckers. You were some kind of, there was something deeply, deeply wrong with your people. Of course they don't want that to get out. That's why there's CRT on CRT. Why, motherfucker? Because you're mad because your grandmother going to be identified in that black and white picture screaming behind the sister? Because that was your grandmother? Or because your mom now is on Facebook and she was the one who set up Emmett Till? And now I'm up for 60 minutes.
Is that something? Yeah, that's something.
You don't want nobody to see her. She done changed her. And she was complicit in causing a young black man to get murdered and changed the whole country.
Tell you.
Come on. Their belief system.
Unfathomable.
That's what they realize. They're beginning to realize, yes, the people that you... 90 seconds, y'all. Got on the roll there.
It's been a good, interesting, introspective conversation today, because we're at that place right now, I believe, we have to assess all. We don't have the luxury of just cherry picking and saying, oh, this only means this just for that only. No, everything is interconnected, people. So remember and understand why the power of your voice is your vote. And if you got to acquiesce, give it to somebody who's going to protect you.
You get the last
word.
All right. Brother Byron Saunders, we'll talk to you again next time, my brother. Brother Wayne Gillen, give the people your
Hey, man, that was so profound. I don't even want to touch that. It was really something that was so important that was said by Byron there. And, before I go, I just want to wish a happy birthday to a friend of his, Vera Katz. I just found out. They're having a big celebration for us soon.
All right. There
That's
you go.
It.
Brother Wayne Gimmel, we'll talk to you again soon. Talk to you soon. I'm Kay's son. This is Kay's son and friends that you've been listening to. We just had to get our 2 cents in about the situation and a whole bunch of other situations that children focus on certain things. Wow. This is interesting that this is the PE song that's coming up. Maybe not so interesting. I'm Eric Payne, Kay's son. Thanks for listening to the Kay's son and friends. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Kurt Newman. The suckers had authority. Cool sweating as I dwell in a cell. How long has it been?